Right, the reading is from John chapter 8, from verse 31 to 47, which is in the Church Bibles, 1074. Right. The children of Abraham, to the Jews who have believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who's told you the truth I have heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." The heading now is "The Children of the Devil." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he who sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can you, any of you, prove me guilty of sin? I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is what you do not belong to God." Amen.
Thank you, Michael, for that. You may, if you had your Bibles open, you may want to just keep them open at John 8, because we shall be referring back to that and to a few other around John 8 as well. John's Gospel. John's Gospel. It's a fantastic piece of literature, just in its own right. But a gospel that's different to the other three, which are all fairly similar to one another. The other three, Matthew, Mark and Luke, are called together collectively synoptic gospels. And scholars, theologians spend their time saying how much did Matthew take of Mark, and if Mark was written first, how much did Luke take of Mark? But it might have been Matthew that was written first, so how much? And it goes around in circles. I'm sure I did it when I was at college, and I'm sure Mooters will be doing it as well, and different people's theories as to what's happening. But they do share commonalities to those gospels. But John is different, very different to the other three. Some say it's actually made up of, I think it's seven sermons, or they like to call them seven discourses, as it goes through John's Gospel. It also has a number of themes running through it, all of which are introduced in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, which is otherwise known as the prologue. We tend to hear it at Christmas time, but it is there all the time. There are six themes. I don't know if you guess what they are. Let's look at them. So the first begins, you don't have to look at this, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the introduction of Logos, the Word, and the Word of God being Jesus. And that's a theme that runs through the Gospel of John. The next two actually occur together in verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. We have the words life and light travelling through the Gospel of John. Now the fourth one isn't a noun. All the others are noun. This is a verb. If you don't know what a noun or a verb is, ask somebody at junior school now and they'll tell you, because they teach it apparently. My granddaughter is telling me all about these grammatical things that happen. And it is the word faith. It's not in this verse as it's translated. Yet to all who did receive him and to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's that believed in, faith in. That's another theme. John 3:16, of course, being another one of those verses that talks about it. So then we move on, two verses, from verse 12 to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. That's here, the Word. Through the Word we see the glory. Dokia, that goes through the Gospel of John as well. And then finally, it was there in that verse, the very last word, and it's also in verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The word truth goes through the Gospel of John. Not so much the word grace, one might think, but the word truth. So we have those six themes. The Word was the first one, life and light, faith, glory and truth. If you want to, if you're doing nothing this afternoon, you know, the Formula One doesn't start till this evening, so there's plenty of time. What you could do is you get six coloured pencils and you take your Bible and you read through John's Gospel, and every time you decide, I'll have this one for Word, this one for grace, this one for truth, and you underline each word. And see how often it occurs. And see the context of all those things. This morning, we are interested in truth. If you were to go through this exercise and count up all the times the number, the word truth appears in the versions we have in church, the New International Version, the NIV, then it is 47 times. 47 times. To put it in a bit of context, 47 times means two in every chapter, roughly. Some chapters have more, some chapters have none, but that's the sort of average. Or one in every 19 verses of John's Gospel, the word truth appears. Is there any one problem? John, or the way it's translated, you do get 26 times this, I tell you the truth, which actually is a different word. That's the ones in the King James Version, goes, verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I think the RSV says. So you can cut out those, but still leave 21, and that means you've got one in virtually every chapter and one in every 41 verses. You're going to say, well, that's not double 19. I know, but I had to round the figures round. So that's what we're looking at. It's a common word. And virtually the very last reference to the word truth actually isn't said by Jesus. If you've got John's Gospel, you may want to turn to page 1087. We're going to start reading at John chapter 18, verse 33. All I can hear is the rustle of paper. So those who have been eating sweets, it's a good time to open the sweets because it's covered up by all the rustles. Verse 33 starts off. Pilate then went back inside the palace. Put it in context. Jesus, he's virtually at his last trial. He's had quite a few, religious and secular. And Pilate was the Roman governor at the time, had all the power, had the power to order his death. So he went back inside the palace and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" I'm never quite sure whether Jesus is being a bit sarcastic then. You know, is Pilate a bit dim and he needs other people to talk to him about it? I don't know. But I'm not sure if Jesus would be like that. But he was saying, "Is that your idea, Pilate? Or did somebody give it to you?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your own people and your chief priests who's handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You're a king then?" And that wasn't a good thing to say against Emperor Caesar. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came to the earth, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this, he went outside again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it's, what is truth? What is truth?" Think about it. We actually put a lot of store by what is truth. I have another question for you to talk about. What is truth? Without using the word true. Often these dictionaries, they come out with, you know, it's a circular argument. So have a chat with each other. What is truth? We put such a high thing about it, but do we know what it is? Have we any? We've got one thought from the back here.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. I've been accosted on the left over here by D. What was yours, D? Or her?
Let every man be a liar and God only be true.
That's true. I'll tell you a funny story about that one. We had a lady at the very first church I was ministering in Nottingham who sadly has schizophrenia. and her schizophrenia meant she went from being, I am a child of the Holy Spirit, that was the bottom level, to I am God, that was the top level. And I said something to her once, and she said, you're lying. I said, no, I'm not. She said, yes, it is, because the Bible says, no man can tell the truth. There was no answer to that, really. There was no answer. I thought, yeah, all right, you got me. But yes. Any other ideas about truth? Yeah, I'll store that one, D. I'll store that one. Anybody else? It's not so easy, really. I have got a couple of definitions from a dictionary. The quality or state of being true. But then I thought, then I look up true and it will say something about truth. So we go around and say, it can, or a fact or belief that's accepted as true. Fact or belief that's accepted as true. Maybe it's not a way to, a route to go down. Not a route to go down. Speaking the truth, though, of course, we think about the opposite, means we never lie. What about those little white lies that we might tell to save somebody pain? And we call them white lies as if they're good, but they're still lies. At one time, if you went to hospital with a terminal disease and you said to the doctor, am I going to die? They actually wouldn't answer you, unless all the relatives had said, yes, they can do. I knew a man who went to hospital and his relatives had told the doctor, do not tell him he's dying. So this man was struggling to stay alive. And then he said to the doctor, who happened to be, they happened to be in the same church. He was a Christian, the doctor and the man. And as soon as the man said, am I going to die? The doctor said, I had to tell him the truth. And then the man gave up struggling to stay alive, because he knew where he was going to go. So in effect, the truth helped him. But sometimes we do tell lies, and so as not to hurt the person. Or we can say one thing and think another. A couple years ago now, hadn't been to church for several weeks, and they turned up. And the church was multicultural, right here. And some of the people went out and said, oh, we have missed you. Have you been away? And they went all around the houses to try and find out what it was. But then this other person came up and said, well, we haven't seen you very often. Don't you like us anymore? And I sort of heard this. I sort of went, ah, inside. But the person answered, well, yeah, I'm all right, I'm all right. Sometimes we might sort of skirt round the truth, not always tell it all. So what is truth? We would say that truth, yes, is based on facts and certainty. This is how this man, Daniel Shenton, he put it like this in an article in 2009. He said, this is a belief I hold as the beginning of an ongoing search for truth and certainty. It's a starting point, an intellectual foundation on which I feel further knowledge can soundly be built, much as Descartes did in his Meditations on First Philosophy. I wish to start from a place of certainty and build upon it. My senses show me and my reason confirms it. Descartes, for those who don't know, was the one who said, I am, therefore, no. I know, therefore, I think, therefore, I am. Right? He was into philosophy. The article goes on a bit, which I won't read it all to, but right at the end, he actually quotes somebody. This is how he sort of brings it to a finale. In all directions, there is so much truth in our favour that we can well afford to be dainty in our selection and magnanimous and charitable towards those who simply believe but cannot prove that we are wrong. We need not seize upon every crude and ill-developed result which offers, or only seems to offer, the slightest chance of becoming evidence in our favour, as every theorist is obliged to do if he would have his theory clothed and fit to be seen. We can afford to be so patiently wait, care, fully weigh, and well considered every point advanced in the full assurance of that simple truth, and not the mere opinions of people in destiny sooner or later to have ascendancy. And he ends it with the words, in veritas victoria, in truth victory. He obviously was a Latin scholar. I wonder if you're thinking, I wonder what he's of. What society? Or is he Christian? Is he defending Christianity? Yeah, he's a member of the Flat Earth Society. And that was written in 2009. And they're still going. You can look it up on the internet. The Flat Earth Society. I love their motto. Their motto is, Flat Earth Society, members around the globe. I suppose they do realise, I think they just, but I thought that was lovely. But to the Flat Earth Society, what they say, they believe is fact. Therefore, that's their truth. And they cannot be shaken from it. They cannot be shaken from it. So in the passage that we read, that Michael read earlier on page 1074, John chapter 8, we have this discussion going with the crowd. Jesus has warned the crowd of the coming judgment. It comes earlier on. He says in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, referring to himself, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The crowd didn't understand. So we then had this discussion about truth and lies. Jesus speaking the truth, Satan speaking lies. A bit like our guards. One tells the truth all the time, one always lies. As Jesus said in verse 44, you belong to your father, talking to the crowd, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And then he contrasts that, starting at verse 45. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. I tell you the truth. You do not believe it. Jesus, you can simply say, Jesus is the truth. And that is said several times in John's Gospel. He's the one who comes to testify, to give witness, to talk about the truth, versus the devil, who's the master of lies and deceit. When Pilate asked the question, what is truth? He didn't realise that truth was stood right in front of him. He could say, Jesus is truth. So what? It's a very easy thing to say. But what does it mean for me? All it means that all that Jesus spoke and did when he was on this earth was built on truth. Jesus never lies, he always told the truth. Sometimes it was hard to take. But as Jesus told the truth, and as Jesus is the Word, and as the Word is the Bible, then the Word of God is truth. That's why in our Constitution, it takes the three Baptist principles, the Declaration of Principles, Baptist Union Declaration. The first one says that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh, is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, and that each church has liberty under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to interpret and administer his laws. Now, if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus doesn't say everything about everything. So it's all, I had big different problems with this at one time. Does that mean I can only read Matthew to John and we have to take everything from that? No, because of course Jesus is the Word, and the Word of God, besides being Jesus, is also the Bible. So it means everything from Genesis to Revelation. That can be truthful and is trustworthy. But equally, we should be people who tell the truth. Now, do we, as one person said when I asked the question, what is truth, said to me, tell it as it is. The truth is telling it as it is. But then, of course, we also have the verse that says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. I don't think that verse is meant to say, well, if it's that hard, we don't say it. We just have to find the right way to say it. If you read through the Gospels, the rich young ruler, classic case, says he went away sorrowful because he didn't get what he wanted. Jesus had to tell him the truth. So what is truth? Simple answer is Jesus. Jesus is truth. Pilate didn't recognize it. Many today don't recognize it. Although they would say Christian values are good. What Jesus said is good. What the Bible says is good. But they don't believe it as the truth. What lets it down? Sadly, it's us. As ambassadors for Christ, for truth, we come out wanting. In the recent news, the Pope visited Ireland. Apparently the previous visit, 20 years before, there were, what was it, millions of people flocked to see the Pope. This time, it was only in hundreds of thousands. Now, a lot of people, and the question that most people were asking the Pope was, what are you going to do about the priests that have been caught in paedophilic situations? But what that does is let the truth, that lets Christ down. Many people are turned off church because of the behaviour of those within the church. This is not the church, if you think about it as a whole, it's the individuals within it. They're put off by the individuals within it. At times perhaps we have to examine ourselves and see if we're bringing God glory or bringing God into disrepute. One of the things I've been watching the last couple of years are historical dramas, especially about royalty. Different countries, not necessarily in this country. And they all go to church on Sunday and they all worship, And then they go out Monday and murder people and have adultery and generally are thoroughly nasty. I'm thinking, how could they put the two of those in their heads at the same time? But they seem to. And they even spoke about God outside of Sunday. But their lives didn't follow it. Hopefully we are not like that. Well, the killing and everything else. But to put off others with our sorts of behaviour. Now, I used to watch EastEnders. I don't know if anybody still does. But this was in the days when Doc Cotton was one of the characters. Doc Cotton was the biggest gossip in EastEnders. And where else did she go on a Sunday? Church. So the programme had carried on with the myth that anybody who's in church actually is a gossip and runs people down. Gossiping is when we tell one person something, but we've only usually got one half of the story. We haven't got the half of the person we're talking about and running down. Remember, in the long run, as we've all said this morning, it's easier to tell the truth than it is to lie, because then you don't have to remember to whom you've told the particular lie to. Jesus is truth. So our Father is truth. Satan, we're told, is the father of lies. We have to make the decision. Whose child are we? Or whose child am I? Let's pray.